T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
This just dropped before our show. See if I could say this correctly, Clint. Russell Westbrook, the star guard for the Houston Rockets, will miss at least the first few playoff games. I mean, few is three. First few playoff games for the Rockets due to a right quad injury. And they said it's not off the table that he could miss the entire first round of the playoffs. That matchup is now set. The Rockets will face the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know that. They had the biggest trade in the offseason, Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul. And he's going to be out. And this was James Harden. Now the load is now completely on him. This is James Harden speaking about what life will have to be like in the playoffs without Westbrook.
We got to just continue to get better. Guys that have opportunities to step up, got to be ready to go and take advantage of the minutes. You know, obviously, we all know how huge Russ, how important Russ is to, you know, everything we're trying to accomplish. So, the faster he can get his body right and get his, you know, get back on the court, the better off we'll be.
How wild is it, man? How wild is it that yesterday we were talking about a Rockets-Utah matchup, and this year's is Utah's not as good as they've been in the past. The Rockets have been able to handle them in the past. And 24 hours later, the tables turn, and we're talking about a Rockets-Oklahoma City Thunder matchup in the first round of the playoffs, both where Harden and Westbrook spent a good chunk of their career. And not only is that the matchup in the first round, but you're starting that matchup without Russell Westbrook. This is one of those things, show where I know Harden's caught a ton of flack over the years, and I've been critical of James Harden and his inability to shine in the big moments and to lead a team, carry a team in the big moments to the next level. Now, a lot of people say, well, it was a dynasty in Golden State that he never got beyond. Let's not be too harsh. But the fact of the matter is, it was the Spurs at one point. It's been the Warriors a couple of times. There's been several moments throughout where you can say that it's fair to say that Harden has shrunk in big moments. When I look at this game, this setup, without Russell Westbrook, this is a series that I don't know that Harden can survive losing this series. Mm. I mean, he's a great player. He's a great scorer of the basketball.
You don't think the Russell Westbrook excuse would be there for him?
Well, it might be there for him, yeah, Show. But when you look at, this is one of those moments. This is one of those moments where when you put it up against Golden State, the dynasty a few years, you know, over 2-3 years there, it may pale in comparison because of what's at the end of the rainbow. Right now, it's the second round, and you look at the San Antonio Spurs back several years ago. Pales in comparison and what's there at the end of the rainbow, maybe because you're deeper in the playoffs. But when you look at this, this is one of those moments. I mean, no Russell Westbrook. The team still has, they still should not be a huge underdog. You should still be able to show up, match up. And if you do what you are coached and schemed to do well, if you do that well, you should have a chance to win these games. And if you're in it at the end, it's about what the superstars do. You know that.
And it will be unfair because this team is built, the Rockets team is built with those two guys, Westbrook and Harden, running the show. And it's completely different now. They've even traded Capella. It's completely different now if you take one of them off. People will look at it and say, oh, well, it's Chris Paul, a star, against Harden, a star. Harden should be better than Chris Paul. But their group is put together better than the Rockets without Westbrook. And to me, it's crazy as you say this is huge for Harden. Dude, it ain't. But to me, it ain't about Harden. It's about Tucker. You got to show up and score. It's about Eric Gordon. You got to show up and score. Rivers now, McLemore, all of those other pieces, now that you're losing 27-7-8, they have got to pick it up for Harden, because you know Harden's going to get his.
Well, that's the kicker, is you know he's going to get his, but I'm telling you, Show, if he goes out there and for some reason in the fourth quarter shoots three times in a close game. And that's what I'm telling you. Go back. I've gone back and looked at before this year. I've gone back and documented times, big moments like that, where
that
it's
problem.
Not about missing shots. It's about just not wanting to take them. Yeah. And so if he has one of those moments where in game one, it's a tight ball game, and for whatever reason, he doesn't answer the bell in the fourth quarter the way that everybody thinks he should answer the bell in the fourth quarter, and they end up losing the series, they end up getting down in the series, this is going to be one. Not survive maybe a little bit strong, but this is going to be one that's going to be it's
another one.
It's going to be a bullet on the list of why Harden has never won a championship.
I don't
man.
Think Mike D'Antoni survives.
Oh, that's a good point.
If he loses, I don't think he survives.
Big 3-3, number two.
All right, number two. The Texans made a move across the defensive line. Former Sam Houston State defensive tackle P.J. Hall is now back with the Texans. Hall is signing with Houston after spending his first two seasons with the Oakland Raiders. He is a second-round draft pick from 2018. He is the newest addition to the Houston Texans. And when you look at him, Clint, you read up on P.J. Hall, it's not like, oh, let's get excited. I mean, this is the guy who's a second-round pick in 2018, and after 2 years, the Raiders are already trying to get rid of him. They were going to trade him for a seventh-round pick to the Vikings, but they couldn't trade him because he failed his physical. That was last week, so we'll see what his physical will be this week. And a second-round pick, John Gruden has said he was overweight coming into camp. Not a lot of great things to be excited about with P.J. Hall coming in for the Texans.
Well, I mean, I think the thing to be excited about is what gave him or made him a second-round pick, right, is he's a 300-pounder. 6'1", 6'2", 300-pounder that has crazy, freakish athletic ability. And so you hope that you Bill O'Brien and Anthony Weaver, you hope these guys did their research, met with the guy, and what they discovered was, hey, man, it just wasn't a good fit in Oakland, whether that's a personality fit, a scheme fit, a maturity fit. Maybe he just wasn't ready to go to Oakland and be a Oakland and Las Vegas and be a professional football player. Bring him here with this culture in Houston, and maybe that athletic ability can flourish. So I'm excited to have Seth Payne on. Payne, who played in the NFL for several years with the Jacksonville Jaguars, obviously most notably with the Houston Texans here. He's one half of Payne and Pendergast in the morning, former defensive lineman. He's watched a bunch of film on this P.J. Hall kid. And he's going to be calling in at what? When's he calling?
He'll be in a little later on this hour, about 3:35. So you might want to check that out.
Yeah, about 3:35. Tune in, man. I'm really excited about Seth Payne joining us and being able to dig into this defensive line that the Texans signed.
The only saving grace with P.J. Hall for me is I do believe, as we discussed, that Anthony Weaver, the new defensive coordinator for the Texans, I think has a lot of a big voice when it comes to personnel moves on the defensive side of the ball. And if he went and saw this kid who plays the position that he played and coaches, maybe there's something that Anthony Weaver sees in this kid that could be something. And maybe if Weaver handpicked him, that's the saving grace for me, because everything else don't look like this kid's going to be in the league much longer. So that's the only thing that makes me feel good, is maybe Anthony Weaver handpicked this kid.
Yeah, you couple that kind of athletic ability, 2 years in the league, that's not long enough for a guy to get old and completely lose the twitch and completely lose the athletic ability and all the discipline that comes with being an NFL player. If somebody saw something that slated this kid as a second rounder, if Anthony Weaver can get it out of him, then it could be a diamond in the rough for the Texans.
Big 3 at 3. Number 3.
All right, some good injury news here in Houston. This is a report from Adam Spolane of SportsRadio610.com. Dusty Baker is hopeful that Yordan Alvarez will return this weekend. This weekend series, hopeful that he returns. And
does Dusty consider Friday a weekend, a weekend day?
Oh, I think so.
I hope Aston, so.
Right? I thought weekend started today.
You talk about some momentum. If these Astros can get you a W last night, that was a solid, convincing W last night across the board for everybody. And take you a day off, and then you hit the ground. You take the diamond, literally. So you take the diamond Friday, and all of a sudden, Altuve's back, Springer's back, Alvarez is back, Carlos is back. You may have to, as you laid out nicely yesterday, Brantley may be, if he can't play in the field, if Yordan's here, he'd be the DH, so you may lose Brantley's bat. But, boy, that could be a shot in the arm that the Astros need to get all those guys back.
And Yordan would be able to get to come back and play against the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, good point.
Who they clobbered in the first series of the season. No, this is big. That's the point that you did make, though. You hope that Michael Brantley is healing up and getting to a place that he can play in the outfield. Now, he learned you don't want to push him. Now, if he needs another few days, give him a few days. But this lineup, Clint, Altuve got his day off yesterday and today off, 2 days to clear his head. Springer is back. He got on base a few times yesterday. You get Springer. Now you got Altuve.
Bregman's hot.
Bregman, Brantley, Yordan, Yuli, and now you're back to having Los Correa, who's been your best hitter in terms of average.
She knows.
On-base percentage, slugging percentage, batting seventh.
Isn't that crazy?
Now you're back. Now that part that you feel you got to take advantage of, and thank God Josh Reddick batting eighth again, that part you have to take advantage of, of the lineup that can carry you when you're struggling with your pitching. That's a huge, huge key. So Alvarez is big coming back.
They need to make a run. I mean, you know, and Dusty spoke about it, getting back to 500 and then never seeing the 500 line again the rest of the season. I mean, it's clear that getting those guys back, getting that shot in the arm and giving this organization a chance to make a run with everybody in the lineup and everybody available in the bullpen, that's got to be the light at the end of the tunnel for this group. And Yordan Alvarez is leading the way.
Text line here saying, Clint, you said Carlos, not Los. You damn owe it. Money in
my
the
bad.
Swear jar.
I got
I, did, I didn't catch it. I'm sure Tyler didn't.
Oh, I was on it. But
he catches
I was,
everything that I say.
Well, I was mainly going to say, you know, this Yordan news, it reminds me.
Oh, he just took it.
This Yordan news reminds me of something.
Oh, my God.
You know what Dusty did.
Baker bomb.
Baker bomb.
Baker bomb.
I'm going to ignore
there
that.
You have
ignore
it.
Ignore the last 7 seconds here because I'm excited. We got big news coming on the show tomorrow. We've got a hell of a guest joining tomorrow. With all due respect to everybody we've had on, I think this may be the best guest we've ever had. We'll discuss who that is coming up next.
But I'm going to have to cuss and discuss this thing with him.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the show.
I almost had Tyler to play the celebration music. I'm so amped. Tomorrow, remember, 8 o'clock, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. They're going to take over 8 a.m. for Payne and Pendergast. And Clint, they got the head coach, Bill O'Brien, coming on. But tomorrow, on our show, we have the best Texan of all time, the second, in my opinion, most important player to this team, J.J. Watt.
I'm so excited!
Joining the show. Not a press conference. He's going to be on with us. Show and dirty. You think he's ready for that?
Oh, yeah. He's up for anything. I mean, J.J. is a polished actor at this point in time.
I'm a mess with
him. He's ready.
I can't wait to have him. So make sure you tuned in with us. J.J. Watt will be on with us live, and there's so many things that I want to ask him.
But there's not going to be enough time.
There's not, but I do. Like, I want to know from him, like, one of the top things. I know he graduated from Wisconsin. He left Wisconsin in 2010. I want to know from J.J. Watt, like, when he thinks about college, what's that one song that pops into his mind? You remember, we talked about this in high school, and you said it was Snoop for you. But that one song that pops into his mind when he thinks of college. He's in Madison, Wisconsin. That's what I want to know from J.J. I wonder what's that one where he hears it and it takes him back to wherever that place is. Maybe he wasn't with no bottle at no club or nothing and doing stupid stuff like I did. But I wonder what it is.
Oh man, Wisconsin. Wisconsin, J.J. Watt.
What was it?
Super white guy.
Really?
Oh, no question.
2009, 2010 is when he was probably his last 2 years in college.
Oh, man. He strikes me as an Eric Church guy.
Really?
J.J. Watt strikes me as an Eric Church guy. There you go.
I don't think so. So you go, Eric.
That's 2011 right there. Homeboy, Eric Church, that's 2011. Come on, turn it up a little bit.
Think so.
J.J. Watt can get down to this right here. Come on. You can't like it at all. You're over here smirking.
I think he's surprised that we've lost Clint right now.
That's a good one. I didn't realize that was that old. That came out in 2011. Yeah, this was definitely on J.J.'s I'm back in Wisconsin, back in the
you
country.
Think so?
No question.
Tyler, you think it's country? I think it's.
I can see it being that. Or
I think it's hip hop.
I can see it being some nerdy hip hop for sure.
What's nerdy hip hop?
You know, like the hip hop
like Will
that's
Smith?
Not really hip hop.
Hip hop. Nah. That's not what you're talking about.
Today, JJ, he's commercial. He's commercialized JJ now. He's bigger than just JJ Watt at Wisconsin. Today, I would imagine the playlist has a little bit of every genre on it. But I think back then, his Eric Church was fire hot. He was on fire back in 2011. I'm going to Eric Church.
I still think that J.J. was in bars and clubs, right? Because Madison is a party town now. And I think, can you find out, is he in some sort of fraternity? Was he a fraternity house kid? I don't know. But I think he's in bars and clubs. And I think there's some songs that come on that take J.J. right there. And I don't know if it's Eric Church.
What?
What
is J.J. Watt going to do to this song?
The Stanky Link. Perfect. Perfect. When did that come out? 2009. The Stanky Link. I bet you.
You think J.J. Watt knows the Stanky Link?
Yes. Madison, Wisconsin. Big man on campus. I bet you
J.J. Watt wouldn't be caught dead in a bar in Madison, Wisconsin doing the Stanky Link.
I can see him with one of those hats that he's worn every day for like 12 months. And he's going there with his boys.
Come on, man.
And that comes on. He's got two drinks in his hand.
No.
When I was in Nashville, we had, they called him Eight Liquor Ass Kickers. That's what I had.
Eight Liquor Ass Kickers.
Yeah, Gentleman Jim's, man.
Oh, that was eight Liquor with a Q. I thought you meant liquor.
Not nasty. Wow. I bet you, we have JJ on tomorrow. I bet you it's closer to this than Eric Church.
I will.
Maybe it's Black Eyed Peas. Maybe that's too strong.
No way in hell. Not to mention, JJ's pretty quick on his feet. If he says Stanky Leg over Eric Church, I'll never look at him the same. I'm gonna give every bit of the interview.
I'll walk.
I'm out. I'm gonna go down the hallway here and get a Coors Light and just sit outside and wait for JJ to leave. Way in hell. If JJ, I want everybody to text in 713-572-4610. If JJ Watt,
I bet it's closer.
If JJ Watt tells you that his jam in 2010, 2011 was Stanky Leg over Eric Church.
If it just makes him, if he makes him think Madison,
that's burn your 99 jersey bad.
I bet you if he thinks, take me back, Madison, Wisconsin. I bet you if we played Eric Church or this, say, what brings you back home? What brings you back to old Madison, Wisconsin, being out? I bet you comes back today. I bet he could do it too.
I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna tag every
I'm gonna put out a poll right now and tag J.J. Watt in it and see which one it is.
Hey, won't you tag every city in Wisconsin and see what they think? J.J. Watt is going back to Wisconsin talking about no damn stank.
I don't think he listened to Swag Surfing. Now, I won't go that far, but Stanky Leg, I think it was closer to that.
Hell no.
Yeah, I'm feeling on this one, man. I think you're 2010, 2009.
I don't give a damn what the year is. The year is irrelevant. It is going to be closer to Eric Church than Stanky Leg.
He wasn't listening to this. I don't think JJ was. This is too strong. This is too strong for JJ. Someone texted, "Sorry, show. I'm on this. I'm on it with Clint on this one." Okay, I'm just telling you. JJ's too big, too white to be
claiming the stanky leg. You may be able to do it, but you can't claim it as your song. that ain't it.
I'll tell you, it's the song that makes him think.
You're crazy.
It's the song that I bet it's closer to that.
It don't look. You can keep trying to change the year, couch it a different way if you want. Stanky Leg ain't got a damn chance against
who you think he was going out with. I bet you he was hitting them bars at club with some of them other gentlemen.
It don't matter
who.
It don't matter. That's irrelevant.
You remember how it was when you went out with Anthony Lucas?
Yeah, this right here. Turn that up.
You wouldn't listen to damn Eric Church.
This right here. This right here is JJ Watt. Turn that up a little bit for me, man. Come on. There it is. Let that thing for a minute. Let it go for a minute. That's got J.J. Watt written all over it. Stanky Leg. Get the hell out of here. I'm going to turn it up in my own ear then. I know everybody out there right now is turning that radio up, talking about, yeah, that's J.J. right there. There ain't no doubt. What do you think, Tyler?
Oh, Tyler, you know, it's
Let him answer. Don't shame him into deciding.
I know, but
you
know he's going to agree with you.
I could see it either way, guys.
It's work.
Are you kidding me?
I'm disappointed in you, Tyler.
God, you can't pick a side.
I'm being serious.
He's straddling the fence because you shamed him into it. No, see, this is not good. That's a form of bullying. That's a form of bullying.
I can see him in the cow pasture in Wisconsin dancing around to this. But we've also had footage of him listening to like Fort Minor or something.
The conversation is not, could you see him listen? Today I could see J.J. Watt listening to anything under the sun.
I'm talking about when he thinks of his years in college, what song pops into his head as, that puts me right back in Madison, Wisconsin.
I just don't think it's damn sure not Stanky Leg. If it's hip hop, it's got to be like Lil Wayne or something. It can't.
All right, I'll take that. Wayne?
I'm going to tell you, Lollipop takes me back to the lake in Hot Springs, Arkansas, boy, dude. With some bad decisions being made, ain't no doubt.
I had a good time in Hot Springs myself.
Oh, ain't no doubt. But you have?
Oh, yeah, that slipped. Oh, yeah, I did a family reunion down there. Had me a good time.
I bet you did. Hot Springs is a great place.
The tubs, their
spas?
Yeah, the spas. Nice time.
You want my answer? This is what he was dancing around to right here.
It's too late. No.
No.
Techno, get out of here. Not a
glow
chance.
Stick guy?
Are you kidding me? Party rock anthem, man.
Are you kidding me?
No, JJ's not a glow stick guy.
No way.
I would be. Look, all BS aside.
I'll walk out. I'll tell Landry and Lopez to come in and do the interview.
Hey, if it's Stanky Leg, I'm gone. If it's Glow Stick Music, show's gone. Tyler, good luck with JJ.
I'll do the interview. I'll take one for the team. No big deal.
I can't believe you could. That's
hell
what you
no. Stanky Leg for sure.
Get the hell out
Black
of here.
Black folks don't even claim Stanky Leg coming from the text line.
Exactly.
That nerdy hip hop.
Nobody's
calling.
But I'm just saying, you hear. Like, for
nobody's
me,
going, yep, that damn Stanky Leg, man, it takes me right back to my years.
For me, when I hear Ballin', Jim Jones, that takes me there.
That's not Stanky
that,
Leg.
I'm just saying, in 2009 and 10, you couldn't get away from that damn song when you were out. You couldn't get away from it.
I see, when Stanky Leg comes on, I see J.J. Watt leaned up against on the wall scouting. I see him scouting the group. All of the little hotties out there. All the little Wisconsin Badgers
out there.
All of them out there shaking something. I can see him just leaned up against the wall, choosing his Stanky Leg, not doing the Stanky Leg. I promise you that. I'm disappointed in you. And if you're right,
this is going to be painful. This is what I'm opening the question.
That's good. We get 15 minutes with JJ tomorrow, and you're going to talk about the stanky leg. That's good.
Right. Who doesn't want to know the answer to this? Who in the hell don't want to know the answer? Everybody listening right now will be holding with bated breath.
We're going to get down to it, but I want to point out the text line. Tyler is right. JJ is a total party rocker. Boom.
JJ's not a glow stick.
Thank you, Tyler's wife, for checking in.
That is not my wife.
Sure it is.
Love you, Megan.
Hey, Megan, we appreciate you listening.
All right, with all this defensive line conversation from P.J. Hall to J.J. Watt to Everson Griffin, we feel it's only right to have our own former NFL defensive lineman. That is one half of Payne and Pendergast. Seth Payne will be joining us coming up next.
I didn't chastise anybody, you sensitive bitch.
Texans training camp is happening now. Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Seth Payne is with us right now, one half of Payne and Pendergast. And before we get into so much of the news that's happening around the defensive line, because we had to bring you in, our own former NFL defensive lineman, former Jag, former Texan, Seth Payne. Tomorrow, you know, we're talking with J.J. Watt, and we just had a conversation of what we think J.J. Watt's song, what song comes to his mind and makes him think back to his college years? What song puts him right back in Madison, Wisconsin? I have a vote. It's closer to the Stanky Leg. And Clint has a vote that is closer to Eric Church.
Eric Church? What the hell's Eric Church?
Damn you, Seth Payne. That's painful.
I'm looking at I'm telling you exactly what makes him think of college is the number one song of 2010, TikTok by Kesha.
TikTok. I'm really going to be disappointed. I am really going to be disappointed.
Make it stop, or the number two song, Need You to Know, by the group formerly known as Lady Antebellum, but they changed their name. So yeah, boy, what a weak ass year in songs. I'm gonna read Kesha, Lady Antebellum, Train, like everybody's favorite fake hard rock band, Katy Perry, featuring Snoop Dogg, California Girls. And then OMG by Usher. It's whatever happened to rock and roll, man? Why did you leave me?
Katy Perry was hot, though.
Yeah, she still is. Except now she's, I think she's got a book or something. Buy her book.
Maybe he's really into Drake. Drake just finally bursted onto the scene then. Probably not. Seth Payne with us. No, so the Texans did make a signing, getting a former second-round pick of the Oakland Raiders, P.J. Hall. And I know you have watched some film on him. I'm going to tell you, reading everything about him, I'm not that excited. When you see a guy that's a former second-round pick in just 2018 and the Raiders have been looking to get rid of him, and when they did, they couldn't get rid of him because he failed the physical, and he showed up overweight. John Gruden, his former head coach, said with the Raiders, not a lot of positives coming my way. What did you think when you saw the film of P.J. Hall?
You know what, Show? I'm really glad that you said that about John Gruden making comments about his weight, because I didn't really want to read too much about P.J. Hall before I watched him. I had liked him when I watched him play at Sam Houston. I saw him play in the Battle of the Piney Woods here a few times, and he was awesome in college. But when I watched him this afternoon, and I watched him play versus the Texans, because I just looked up his PFF, his Pro Football Focus grades by game, and figured, okay, where was a pretty good game? Lo and behold, he graded out best versus the Houston Texans. So I went and watched the Texans game. My first thought of him was, man, this kid is strong. He plays with natural leverage because he's 6 foot tall, and that helps defensive tackles sometimes because they can get up underneath offensive linemen really easily. But I think his ideal playing weight, as I was watching him play the Texans last year, might be a little bit lower than whatever he was, because the kid's explosive as hell. He ran a sub 4.8 40 last year on his pro day, But he's just – he doesn't have that wiggle that you want to see out of a guy who's a dynamic player. So there were times where he was lined up as a tilt nose guard over Nick Martin and had some really, really good snaps in the run game. But in the pass game, he kind of – he's got a bull rush, which he uses to set up his bull rush. And that's about it right now. He's got to work on that, and I think if he lost some weight – he's not fat. I just – because, sometimes guys are – sometimes – Clint, you know what I'm saying here. He's not fat by, defensive lineman standards. Obviously, all of us defensive linemen that aren't J.J. Watt and are a little bit chunky by conventional standards. He's not fat for a defensive tackle, but I think that he could get by and exhibit more of his athleticism by losing a little bit of weight, and maybe that's what the Texans have in store for him.
Said, what is it about, I look at John Gruden, I guess I kind of consider the source, so to speak, is I look at Gruden and Mayock both as Gruden's a guy he's got a 10-year contract. So if, and his coaching style is one of those where, man, he's hard on players, man. And it's not hard to think and to understand where some players may go out there. Gerrion Conley didn't fit in well. Obviously, AB, he's not fitting anywhere. But then this P.J. Hall kid doesn't fit in. Is it fair to say that just with Gruden's style, with the fact that he can afford to cut bait on a second-round draft pick because he's got a 10-year contract, all things considered about Gruden, is it a stretch to think that maybe it's just there's certain guys that aren't a good fit? It's not that the guy can't be productive. It's not that the guy necessarily did something wrong or can't play, as in it's likely it just wasn't a good fit.
Yeah, and you always wonder, too, okay, between Mike Mayock coming in and having his guys and the guys that he wants around where P.J. Hall was drafted in 2018, right? This is his third year coming up. There's sometimes the sizeism. There's guys that want their defensive lineman to look a certain way, and they want him to be 6'4", 6'5", 320 pounds. And P.J. Hall's not that guy. He's 6 foot and 1/2 inch. And I think it would probably fall more along those lines. I also think, too, I don't want to fixate too much on this size like it's a negative, because he is a very, very explosive kid, and he's very strong. He does some really good things in the run game. But he's 6 foot tall, and I don't know if it's in his future to be a two-gapping run plugger that soaks up double teams and does all those things. And maybe they just couldn't quite figure out where they wanted him to fit in that defense. I think this, and I'm with you, Show, I'm not overly excited about it. This is what it is. It's picking a guy up who had failed a physical and is maybe on the fringe of either making it in the NFL or not making it in the NFL. So I look at the upside, and if I'm going to get excited, it's that he's on a team now where they've got plenty of run stuffers. They got Brandon Dunn. They've got Angelo Blackson. They've got guys that can soak up blocks. If he wants to get some playing time, it might be, hey, get a little svelter, look a little bit more like John Randall than Jerry Ball, and start showing off some of that explosiveness and athleticism, and maybe he can carve himself out a niche here.
See, that's what I was wondering. Seth Payne with us, one half of Payne and Pendergast. That's what I was wondering. Is he in the mode of DJ Reed, or is he in the mode more of what it seems like they've been going to, which is Ross Blacklock? Then they also brought in Tim Jernigan. That was more of a, as Clint would say, faster twitch guy.
Yeah.
So he's more in that vein than the big three. Because when you said he's a bull rush to set up his bull rush, no rips or swim, okay, Nothing like that. That sounds like a run stuffer.
Right, except that you can see that there's more there. He's got to develop a repertoire of pass rush moves. And also, I think just by perhaps, and maybe in working with the strength and conditioning staff, maybe there's some things they can unlock in him. There's potential energy there. There's pent-up athleticism that's just like screaming to try to escape somehow, and they just got to figure out a way to get it out of him. But he's listed as 305, 306. I'd guess he was heavier than that when they faced the Texans last year. And again, he did some really good things against the Texans in the run game. I think Ross Blacklock is he's cut from a different cloth than a lot of the defensive linemen that had been on the Texans for a long time. I really used to wonder, Show, I felt like they were trying to build this defense to be really good in 1995, which would have been great in 1995, but it just needed more athleticism. It needed more quick twitch. Ross Blacklock was a step in that direction. Tim Jernigan was a step in that direction if they had been able to consummate the deal. And I think this, not that they're planning on P.J. Hall being a linchpin of the defense or anything, but you're going to start to see more guys like this roll in, I think.
Seth, we did a segment earlier. We discussed a little bit about the Cowboys and what they're doing. They just signed Everson Griffin for less than $6 million, by the way. And we took a look at what they have done this offseason. And it really, to me, it's one of those things where I hoped that the Texans would do this. I don't know if you've had time to look at it, but they signed Everson Griffin. Yep. Alden Smith obviously hadn't played since 2015, but the ceiling could possibly still be there. Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. They signed, leave Clinton Dix out of the mix, the defensive front that they were able, the guys that they were able to bring in, plug in. ESPN's already got three of the four listed as a damn starter in their defensive front. They built around Lawrence at the defensive end position. That is what I was hoping the Texans would do, man. Should we compare those two, or do you think the Texans are going to be okay and not having gone that route this offseason?
Well, I think when you just rattle off those names, it feels like a whole lot more of what you've also had with the Cowboys over the last few years. For one, Alden Smith, I don't know what the odds are on him making it 16 games through the season, but he hasn't played in forever. But some of those guys are either maybe a little bit over the hill. I think Gerald McCoy's got a lot more football in him. But they're proven guys that you're getting at a discount for a reason. I think that with the Texans, they kind of ran their experiment on the back end. They've signed all these guys who are former first-round picks, and the names aren't as glamorous, but because of that, you get them in an even better deal. But and not like you're getting Bradley Roby on a huge bargain or anything, but Gerrion Conley has that athleticism, and they tried it with Vernon Hargraves. I'm not optimistic that's going to work out anywhere for Vernon Hargraves, but they've got athleticism back there, and they're trying to figure out some way to ramp up the overall speed of the roster. So I'm okay with it. Look, they've got to sign Deshaun Watson. The Cowboys signed all those guys, and Dak Prescott has not been signed to a long-term contract. So in terms of being aggressive in free agency or signing a guy like Everson Griffin, I would have loved to see Everson Griffin here, but I think it's just a little too much of a luxury right now.
How do you feel about the in-the-box guys right now, Seth, particularly the D-line and the pass rush? Do you feel like the Texans have done enough to not have the same problems in 2020 that they had in 2019 in key moments?
I think a lot of it's going to be on Anthony Weaver, and I'm pretty optimistic that just by scheme alone, Anthony's going to create and generate more pass rush. That's kind of the way Anthony Weaver was raised, and I just remember from having conversations with him about Rex Ryan and the way he ran the Ravens defense when Weaver was playing for the Ravens, you know, that philosophy of figuring out ways to get guys free with blitzes, figuring out a way to pressure with zone blitzes where you don't necessarily have to take as many risks. There is a real skill and an art to that. And some guys have an appetite for it, some guys don't. Romeo Crennel was okay blitzing last year. You know, they blitzed a lot more as they needed to because they weren't getting pass rush. But that's not necessarily Romeo Crennel's gig, you know. And it's not good or bad. It's just some guys run their defense a certain way and some guys run it another way. Weaver's a guy that I think I'm predicting will scheme a lot more. And you'll see the way with the Ravens last year. And Matthew Judon had a really good year rushing the passer. And a lot of that was scheme. I like Matthew Judon as a player, but he had a lot of opportunities that were created for him by the scheme. And I think you're going to see that, whether it's getting J.J. Watt open or, you know, I think more critically, I think getting Whitney Mercilus open, getting guys like Jacob Martin open, those guys coming free on rushes, you're going to see more of that this year.
For the Texans, Seth, I hope that happens, but, man, maybe it's just the person that's never played before in me, but I'm looking. You got $21 million under the cap. I just watched the Chiefs with $275 left under the cap, signed Travis Kelce to a four-year deal and $57 million. And it's like, to me, man, if you're going to try to get to the next level and get to the AFC Championship game, a guy like Everson Griffin for $6 million seemed like such a perfect fit. to help to be right there on the other side to get more pressure on the quarterback. If they just sit back with $21 million under the cap, that would be disappointing to me.
I'll tell you one thing. Well, for one, the Chiefs now are sitting with only $14 million in cap space for 2021. So it's not like the Chiefs – and I guess that's the a big question, guys. If Travis Kelce were on the Texans, would Bill O'Brien actually re-sign Travis Kelce, or would he trade him for a second-round pick and David Johnson? I guess that's the – That's the big question that you'll never have the answer to, because that's what they did. I mean, the Chiefs signed Travis Kelce, and the Texans traded away DeAndre Hopkins, and that's where the big experiment with Bill O'Brien's going to come as a general manager. Everson Griffin, like, I don't want to get too tied up in saying, well, he fits this scheme or he doesn't fit this scheme. Weaver would have figured out a way to use Everson Griffin, but it's not necessarily a perfect scheme fit. Okay. It's not necessarily what you would draw out on paper. He would have figured out, but that's why I looked at it as a little bit of a luxury signing. I'm with you, man. I'm not going to sit here and defend Bill O'Brien, the general manager. I'm kind of looking at where we are right now and what you can do with this roster. But as far as the overall roster management, yeah, I've got my serious doubts.
Seth, we got J.J. Watt at some point tomorrow on our show. We get to spend 10 or 15 minutes with him, man. And what questions would you have? You got a couple of top questions that you'd have for J.J. Watt that you just have to have answered?
I've been honestly thinking about this on and off for a few hours now, and I'm having a hard time. I try to game plan it because J.J. is really, really good at you can't catch him with a tough question. You know, like he reverts to cliche mode exactly when he needs to go to cliche mode. So I'm trying to figure out what I want to ask him that's not necessarily a softball question, but has more something to do with the fact that he's entering the twilight of his career. And there's certain things you learn as you get to JJ's age where the game just slows down. As a defensive lineman, I think, I guess any position in football, when you start to get to the age of 30, it's amazing how many things you just start knowing before the snap. Like, you know what play is coming. You know what an offensive lineman is going to try to do to you. You know exactly what's going to happen. And then within the play, it, like, turns into the Matrix. Like, you feel it coming. But at the same time, that's exactly when your body starts breaking down. You know, and it ends up being just the most frustrating feeling in the world that you've got the answers to the test, but your body can't do it. So I think really, you know, what I might ask him is, like, is he feeling a sense of desperation now? And whether it's desperation or, man, this really might be it. You always say carpe diem and, you know, I'm going to make every game count and I'm going to play like it's my last one. But I wonder if that's really starting to sink in for him.
Seth Payne with us. Appreciate you joining us with all this D-line news. We had to go to you. Remember, you can catch him every weekday morning at 6 a.m. Payne and Pendergast. Thanks a lot for joining us, Seth.
Thanks a lot. Now, I'm depressed about Bill O'Brien, the general manager, again, though. So thank you, show. Thanks. I talked myself into something, but thanks for that.
Right.
I'm gonna go drink heavily until 6 a.m.
All right, I'm going to right now as well. I'm just kidding. All right, that's Seth Payne. Coming up, it's time to get your football fix. Clint Sterner is going to react to what Bill O'Brien had to say about Deshaun Watson on a network interview. That is coming up next. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
I'm smooth all the time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.